The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dottiglia along with Cullen Steele, coordinating and supervising behind the scenes. Steve Geller will join us at 5:45 for our triple option feature. At 4:20, a little after, it's a former Super Bowl champ and part of that 2007 National Championship team for the LSU Fighting Tigers. Marlon Favorite, you hear him on the LSU Sports Network for pregame. He follows Herb Tyler and I each and every week, and we'll talk to him about Saints and certainly about the big matchup between LSU, Alabama this coming Saturday, and you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870 WWL. And at 2 o'clock, it'll be Herb Tyler and I will be at Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge and giving you 2.5 hours of pregame coverage. And then we'll throw it to Fave and his group. And at 4:40 today, Zach Nagy, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated, will join us, give us a little SEC talk. Also want to talk to Zach about recruiting as Kim Mulkey has landed another big recruit. And what's left high school-wise for the LSU Tigers as we're getting closer and closer to that early signing date in December. Already, Darren Rizzi is sort of shaking up the staff a little bit with the Saints, and he's made some moves, which included today moving veteran defensive line coach, and he was a former coordinator for many years in the SEC, Todd Grantham. He's now been put to a defensive advisor role, and the new defensive coach is the longtime assistant defensive line coach and former Saints player, Brian Young. So Brian will take care and be in charge of the defensive line. He had worked with them. You could see he was one of the pass rush guys working with the group on pass rush moves and counter moves to get off of people. And so Brian Young has now been elevated to defensive line coach, and he will work with linebackers coach Mike Hodges, who is now both of them will work together to be in charge of the run defense game plan. And certainly Joe Woods being the coordinator, he'll work with the corners. Marcus Robinson will work with the safety group. So Darren Rizzi putting his stamp, so to speak, on the type of staff he wants, and he did it real early in moving Todd Grantham now to a defensive advisor role. And Brian Young, he's been there forever. As an assistant defensive line coach. And again, we've seen him at practices and everything. He works with the technical part with the pass rush people and trying to use pass rush moves to get a little bit of pressure up front. Cullen, I see, man, we got the lines all lit up. Let's go to that before we do anything else. Let's go to Shane on the North Shore. Shane, you're in the huddle with Mike.
Hey, Mike, how you doing, dude?
All right, Shane, what's happening, baby?
Hey, Broadman, shoot, first time caller here.
Okay.
And I'm on the North Shore. Man, Mickey Loomis, bro. What's the deal with him? Why ain't them Mickey Loomis on the hot seat, man? Shoot him, man. He could just bad him with the money, bad with the picks. Shoot, all the moves that we have made lately, the last couple of seasons.
Okay, Shane, let me answer your question. Mickey Loomis is going to leave the Saints when he wants to. Okay, it's going to be on his terms. He is part of the Benson will when something's going to happen to Gail Benson. Dennis Lauscher is the top guy, and Mickey's going to be part of it when if something happens, when something's going to happen to Ms. Benson. They're going to be part of selling the Saints and most likely to the Pelicans the exact same way. Mickey's probably the most powerful general manager in the NFL that's not an owner. And so he's going to be part of the structure here. If he is kind of advisor to Gail Benson, kind of overlooking football operations. He said it last year when we asked him about it. Are you thinking about retiring? And he said, you know, one day I might wake up and say I've had enough. But that day ain't today. And so, Shane, put it to you this way. Mickey Loomis is going to leave the Saints when he wants to. A lot of people don't want to hear that, but that is reality, that he's going to leave them on his terms. And so just to answer your question, that's basically the backdrop. And I look at it this way. Even if he would take an advisory position, who would hire the new general manager? Mickey Loomis. It wouldn't be Gail Benson. It was not going to be Dennis Lauscher. They're going to be part of it, but it's going to be Mickey Loomis. So Mickey Loomis is going to have a major say in this organization until he says, I don't want to anymore. Stone Cold used to say it because that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so. Well, that's part of the will and the structure of this team, and that's just the way it's going to be set up. So thanks for the call, Shane. Appreciate it, buddy. And call back soon. Let's go to Larry in the Saints truck. Larry, man, it's been a while, buddy. How you been?
Hey, Mike, how you been, bud? Nice talking to you.
Same here, Larry.
I'm going to see you tomorrow night, Chess. But anyway, okay, I just wanted to get you
Come
put
see
on.
Us. Me and
what's
Steve.
What's going on with the team? Can the interim coach handle this, or is it the players? What's going on with this team, Mike? Give me a heads up and tell Bobby I said hi, and I'll see you tomorrow night, babe.
Good.
Thank you.
Good talking to you, Larry. I'll see you tomorrow night, and Steve Geller and I will be at the Treasure Chest Casino out in Kenna, and we'll be there from 4 to 7 doing sports talk there. So, Larry, I'll see you out there. Larry, to answer your question, this is a personnel issue. Think about it. Since the 2017 draft, the Saints have one player that they've selected that's an all-pro player. That's Eric McCoy. He's the best player you got on the team if you were trying to move him. Which you not, but he's the most valuable guy you got. And what happened after he got hurt in the third, early in the third game? Your offense ain't looked the same. I've been talking about center position is so vital for every team, but it goes to show you they've missed on so many early round picks. Peyton Turner's he's part of the rotation. Isaiah Foskey, he's playing on special teams. Kendra Miller, he's talented, but he can't stay healthy at all. Those are vital spots on this team. It's not being filled. Nick Saldiveri, you traded up in round 4 to get. He's been hurt back-to-back training camps. He has seen a little action from everything I've seen. He's not overwhelming as a run blocker, and he struggles in pass protection. Man, you got a lot of holes here. This isn't going to be a one-year fix. It's going to be a multi-year fix. But how you get better and how you dig your way out of the salary cap kind of hell you in by picking young players via the draft.
The salary cap and the roster age.
That is the big thing. Already, the estimates that this team is going to be over $70 million over the salary cap next year. For 2025. So the Saints did this for many years. When they needed money, they would restructure Drew Brees' contract. Drew wasn't beating his chest saying, oh, I helped him out, but that's the bottom line. He was one of the guys that did it. So Drew's not here anymore. Banker Brees is gone. So you're going to have to go get your coin from Derek Carr. Like it or not, He's going to be on this roster in 2025. You're going to have to do something with that contract. And he's going to be on this team. If he's the starter, I don't know. And I don't know what happens in 2026. But he's on this team in 2025. You've dug yourself a pretty big financial hole. Now, every year they get out of it. But all you're doing is kicking the can down the road. It's like a credit card. And you say, oh, I don't owe any more to this company, but I got a new credit card, so I just switched over the debt to the other card. You still owe the money. You still owe it. And so, Larry, to answer your question, it's all built around personnel. Bottom line, you're a lot smarter coach when you got better players. I've been told that by many coaches, including guys that are in my family. I'm a lot smarter coach when I got better players. And so I think that's something that they have to straighten out. Mickey Loomis has got to take a long look at the structure here and who's giving him that information on college players, on pro players, and they haven't hit. Haven't hit in the draft since 2017 other than Eric McCoy. Now, Taliese Fuaga, that dude can play. He is a really good pick for them. But, you know, it's just a handful of guys. And you got rid of one yesterday. He could start for every team in the NFL. But, you know, maybe he didn't quite walk the exact line that they wanted. And I think he really wanted to get out. I think he wanted to go to another team. And sometimes you cut up a little bit when that happens. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Have on with us Marlon Favorite from the LSU Sports Network, right up.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
To this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTeo along with Cullen Steele in studio. And we're going to go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. He was a member of the 2009 Super Bowl champions, New Orleans Saints, and the 2007 national champs of the LSU Tigers. You hear him as part of the LSU radio network. Marlon Favorite. Fave, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Well, hello, somebody. Thanks for having me, Mike.
Great to have you on, Fave. Before we start talking LSU, Alabama, I want to get your take on the Saints, because I know you keep a close eye on that also. Fave, I think, you know, this was sort of building up after a while, but, you know, and talking to people that have called, and, man, everywhere you go, they ask about it, and they had to make the change at head coach. You know, it was the tipping point Sunday to lose to the Panthers, but when you get down to the bottom line here with it, this is a personnel problem, Fave. You don't have enough good players at this stage. And some of your top players, man, they pushing the age limit. They played their best football. So give me your take on that situation, because you've been in locker rooms when, man, you say, this ain't working no more. And you know when you got a talented team around you.
You do it, and I can watch, and you see it in the press conferences. You just see it in the emotions on the players' faces that coach was losing the team. He started to lose faith in the team. I think a golden moment, like a moment that really showed this happening, was when Jameis went on and said, okay, forget what he's talking about. I'm going to hand Jamal Williams the ball off, and we're going to score a touchdown. I think in that moment there, I started to see why he lost most of the locker room. And then – you know, we start this season off pretty good. Two big time wins against Carolina and the Cowboys, and then the roll off seven straight after that is, you know, we hadn't seen anything around here like that since 1999. That's years ago. Right, I can remember when Cash Money Records was taking over for the 99 in 2000. Hello, somebody.
I know that would jog your 99 memory.
Right. Shout out to Juvenile. You know, he probably like, man, it's been like that since I dropped 400 degrees. But that was just too much. And you look at a guy like Mickey Loomis. He got to start looking at himself in the mirror like, you know, am I making the right decision? I mean, this is the same guy that was, you know, smacking his teeth saying other guys that started off this, you know, so now he had to backtrack that because he was defending Dennis for a while. But, you know, I think ultimately we made the right choice.
Fave, LSU, Alabama, and you can see it sort of building up a little bit, but this is really a playoff elimination game. The loser here, he ain't going nowhere. I mean, he would go to a bowl game, but he ain't in the top 12. I look at it this way. Both quarterbacks are really good. Both teams can't run the football. Now, Alabama can run it if Milrow can run it, but they're not a real physical team up front either to run the football. And LSU, I got no idea what's happening up front. They can pass protect, but they can't run the ball. Every once in a while, Durham gets off a big run, but he's doing that off speed himself. And I wish they'd run a little bit more wider plays for him to see if he can hit stride and get up the field. And defensively, Faith, I've never seen Alabama this bad in the secondary. Man, they got holes. Now, I know they had a first-round pick guy go to Detroit, and then Kool-Aid's with the Saints. He was a second-round pick, and they had a transfer who was a terrific freshman. He goes to Ohio State, but their secondary is not real good. And you look at LSU, man, they got torched against A&M. It looked like they had never seen the read option before. This team, both teams have flaws across the board. My thing is, it's going to come down to one thing. Which quarterback makes the big mistake in the fourth quarter? Not the big play, the big mistake.
Mike, you nailed it. It's really going to go down to who's going to be able to play mistake-free football. As they say, we can say this a number of ways. I've taken it back to when I used to sit in those meetings after a game, and we would have to look at plays where I had a mental error or a misassignment or a missed tackle. When you look at that quarterback position, Nussmeier is having a great year. He's in the mid-pack of the Heisman conversation based on the numbers he's putting up in the production and the passing. But now it's going to be about eliminating the mistakes. That's one thing I can say at LSU. We got spoiled with our last two Heisman quarterbacks. They didn't make a lot of mistakes with the ball. So I think, you know, having 2 weeks going into this Alabama game, Nussmeier had an opportunity to say, you know what, I watched the film. I saw where we made some mistakes. We watched enough of Alabama. We see when they roll a certain coverages. I could kind of see on film when they blitz. And you know, those things hopefully throughout a week or two of preparation to kind of help eliminate those mistakes. If Tiger Stadium, Mike, let's check this out. Tiger Stadium, a big weekend, a night game, college day, game day. Hello, somebody. They're going to be in old Baton Rouge. You know what I'm talking about? Calling Baton Rouge, you know? And it's one of those opportunities for Nussmeier to put his name up in the Heisman conversation. Hopefully we have the birth of some superstars on defense, because where Alabama lacks at cornerback and safety, I think we have a slight edge with Ashton Stamps, with Zay Alexander. I mean, these guys grading out exceptionally well on the back end. So it's going to really boil down to your point. Who can make the least amount of mistakes on this stage?
For 3.5 games, I was so impressed with the two edge rusher, Savion Jones, and then Braden Swenson. Now, that second half against A&M, there was nothing impressive about any player on defense. But your thoughts, you played the defensive line position. Fave, you could have given me five names and said one of these guys are going to lead the team in sacks and be one of the leaders in the SEC. And I had no way I'm picking Swenson. He showed me nothing that he could be that type guy this year. And look what he's turned out to be. And Savion, I saw him at St. James, which isn't that far from my home. And, you know, he was maybe 225 when he came into LSU. And then I thought he got too heavy last year. And they had kicked him inside. That wasn't his position. I think he's much better out on the edge. A&M kind of caught him with their pants down. And, man, the two ends really gave up some big plays. But for 3.5 games, those two ends, man, it was like watching when you guys played. To have that type pressure being put on quarterbacks on a consistent basis.
Yeah, listen, those two names you mentioned, Savion Jones and Swenson, it's been night and day with those guys between since last year. But it is curtains when you have an opportunity to rush well, be effective. It doesn't always mean you have to get a sack on a quarterback. It's getting your hands in his face, getting the pressure, making him throw a ball a bit sooner than he wants to. You know, I think if we could go out there and do that early and often, to your point, that rush is going to get after it. And it may be the determining factor for us in this game.
Fave, man, I've been asked this a bunch of times, so I'll throw it to you. I don't know if maybe the guys coming into the college ranks, their physicality and as a run blocker, they get much more time now than ever before working on pass protection sets. I mean, we had the camps. We see them. They know how to pass protect pretty well. Run blocking, I watch Alabama. I watch LSU. They're not good there. They don't move anybody off the ball. So, kind of break it down. Why hasn't that worked? LSU returned 4 or 5 starters from a year ago. Now, Garrett's down for this game, but still, you haven't been able to really move anybody off the point of attack, is basically that. And you know what? To watch Alabama, you know who's the big play? It's Milrow.
Yes. It's Milrow catching defensive ends off guard and making the big runs. Yeah, to your point, you're absolutely right. And to answer your question about this offensive line that LSU has, and I mean, coming into the season, this was the best group, the number one offensive line in the country by a lot of beat writers and a lot of national folks who covered the game. But one thing I want people to be mindful of this offensive line, the last 2 years, Jaden Daniels spoiled these guys.
You're right.
We didn't have to run block last year. We didn't really have a consistent running game, but with Jaden. Jaden was our lead rusher. So when you have a man with wheels like that, what does LSU do exceptionally well every week? Pass block. That's their strength, because that's all they had to do exceptionally well the last few years. Now Jaden is gone. Nussmeier is more of a pro-style quarterback. He's going to sit in the pocket, but we're going to hand the ball off. We're going to have to move some guys off the ball. Those guys hadn't been doing that the last 2 years. So the blocking scheme changed up when we lost our quarterback. And, I mean, that this is something that this big dog group had to get accustomed to. And fortunately for us, they started to catch on as the year progressed.
Favo, last question for you would be about Chris Hilton. It's been disappointing for him. Manning Camp, Garrett Nussmeier talked to me about him. He's like, Mr. Mike, I'm telling you, he's ready for a breakout year, and he's got the injury, and then it kind of resurfaced again. But what could he mean to this football team? Because they really haven't pushed the envelope deep. They throw the short intermediate passes a lot, but not per se the deep pass. To catch a team off and kind of back you off coverage a little bit. A healthy Chris Hilton, what does he mean to LSU?
Oh, we saw flashes of it last week. He's someone, he complements this receiving corps so good because he has top-end playing experience. I mean, he was on this squad with Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas, so he knows what it means to be an elite receiver. And to that speed, he can blow the top off an offense off of a secondary. And that opens up and creates lanes for West Bank's very own Aaron Anderson, or creates those one-on-one matchups that we want to see Tyron Lacey have. So he's very valuable to this team. You know who could be him, but the opportunities he got, even touchdowns, it was either bad balls or he dropped it. And I'm going to say Sheldon Sampson. He's someone I thought has that, like, almost like Mekhi Dupree frame, but could catch the ball at the high points. So I thought he would be a bigger contributor. But to your point, Chris Hilton gives us those for sure hands, the speed, and he has the size.
Faith, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. Man, always enjoy having you on. Great insights. I appreciate your time. But I got to tell you something Herb Tyler told me to tell you. You see, because we do that 2.5 hours right before we throw it to the LSU radio network. So Herb told me to tell you, man, we serve this to you on a silver platter. It's easy to do.
Y'all sure do, baby. Y'all serve it to us nice. Shout out to my boy Herb. Herb came to my show. I performed at the Chicken Fest a few years ago. He was out there like, hello, somebody. So that's my boy. Go Tigers.
Thank you, Fave. I appreciate it, buddy.
Mike, thanks for having me.
Thank
Have
you,
a good
man.
One.
All righty. Marlon Favorite, part of that 2009 Super Bowl winning team with the Saints and the 07 LSU National Championships. How about that? A local guy. And you get to do it in college.
That's the dream.
In the pros.
That is the
dream. In your own area. My goodness. We'll be back with more LSU talk, and we'll have on with us Zach Nagy, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTillo along with Cullen Steele in studio. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, he's the publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated, Zach Nagy. Zach, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. Zach, I've heard it from so many people, and so I'm going to ask you, you keeping up with it a little closer than I am during the football season because I got NFL to juggle. But from a high school standpoint, what is LSU looking at to bring in before the December signing day? Because, man, they've done a great job so far in getting the commitments. Now, that commitment is about as worthless as the piece of paper that it's not written on. But your thoughts on what else is LSU looking to bring in, and maybe a couple names?
Yeah, look, Mike, first, I appreciate you for having me back on here. And second of all, they've assembled the top five recruiting class in America. They've pieced together a haul with over 25 pledges to this point, and they've been dominating the recruiting trail. They've been getting visitors in town, whether it's game days, et cetera. Even on the bye week, you saw them bring in a lot of guys to come in and check out campus. So from a recruiting perspective, they're doing a fantastic, fantastic job. The one name is Jakeem Stewart, and that's the major headliner here, yep, remaining in the 2025 recruiting class. And Stewart's a player who was in the 2026 class, ultimately reclassified to 2025, but prior to reclassifying, he was the number one player in America. This is a program-changing, generational-type player that LSU's rolling out the red carpet for, and he'll be in town this weekend in Baton Rouge for an official visit. He's checking out LSU. He's checked out USC, Oregon, Ohio State, you name it. He's got the top programs in the country certainly on his radar. So he's a player that LSU's going for. He's a boot boy. He's a guy from Louisiana. So they're going to continue to turn up the heat for him. And then they'll continue working through a couple of senior evals before the time's done, before that early signing period, the first week of December. So if you're looking for a name, it's Jakeem Stewart. That's the guy that they're really rolling out the red carpet for and really hoping to get done by the time the early signing period comes along.
Zach, I saw him at Louisiana Line Camp. He was a man amongst boys. I mean, he is. Now, again, I think you're going to have somebody press the right buttons with him. But, man, is he immensely physically gifted. Good gracious. A guy that young, and yet he's built the way he is.
Yeah, you're looking at a guy, he's 6'6", 270 pounds, and he's going ahead and skipping his senior year. So it's been an interesting recruiting process for him. He was ineligible his freshman year at St. Augustine, dominated his sophomore campaign, 20 sacks, significant number of tackles for loss, et cetera. This is a guy who dominated a sophomore campaign, and then he elected to make the decision to reclassify. it seemed like St. Augustine wasn't quite going down that path for him, so he made the decision to transfer to Edna Carr. He's ineligible this year for his junior campaign, and then he's going to make a decision the first week of December to go to another program, so he's going to bypass his senior year. It's an interesting recruitment, but certainly one that a lot of programs are preparing to roll the carpet out for. Small sample size, but like you said, when you have a guy 6'6", 270 at that age, it's hard not to want to continue pushing for him down the stretch, and LSU's going to do just that, headlined by Frank Wilson at the helm of his recruitment.
Zach, when watching LSU all year, I think this team plays a lot better when C.J. Daniels is on the field. He can work that short intermediate area very well. He's sure-handed, and you know he's never going to see double coverage because they sort of bracket Kyron Lacy so much, and Aaron Anderson has really come through for him big. But I think maybe the most valuable guy has been C.J. Daniels because of what he does. He does a lot of dirty work, and when he wasn't there, the offense didn't run as well.
I think it's a fantastic point, Mike, just because the dirty work, emphasis on that. He's not a guy who's come out here and made the impact in the receiving game that a lot of people might have expected coming off of a 1,000-yard-plus season at Liberty, double-digit touchdown. He obviously did a lot in the receiving game for them then, but he's been doing the dirty work, Mike. He's been doing a lot of blocking. He's a guy that this team can fall back on in the huddle when need be. He's experienced. He's a veteran. He's a player that the program really, really thinks highly of, and the goal is obviously to have him out there come Saturday night at a full capacity. He's been battling a lower body injury. He was questionable leading up to Texas A&M, gave it a go for the first half, ultimately couldn't play in the second half just because that injury was lingering a little bit more. So the hope is that he works through the bye week, built his body back up, continues doing that this week, and we'll be good to go for this weekend against Alabama. But like you said, he's about as valuable as it gets for the offense and Garrett Nussmeier.
With Dellinger down, give everybody in the listening audience a little bit of a bio on his replacement. And the one thing with Dellinger, man, he's moved all across the board. He came in as a tackle. They put him at guard. And then I remember Coach Kelly coming on with us, and he was like, Mike, I'm going to try him at center. And then they switched him back out to the guard position. So give us a little bit of a bio on his replacement.
Yeah, look, Mike, you and I talked a couple months back, and you kept instilling in me the fact that your backup linemen have to be as good as your starters because in due time, one of them will go down with an injury. Here we are. Garrett Dellinger's out this weekend. He underwent that tightrope surgery on his ankle. The hope is that he'll be back next weekend against Florida. But a little bit of a look into his replacement, Paul Mbanga. He's a beast. I mean, he's a 6'5", 315-pound offensive lineman, redshirt freshman, so he's not necessarily as experienced as you may like, but he entered the fold in a really nice way in College Station, and he's been playing some good ball his entire career. He's a Georgia native, played against some really good talent out there, made the move to commit to LSU over Georgia and other programs, redshirted in year one, fast forward to year two, and he's making an impact. And Brad Davis and this coaching staff have really talked highly of what he provides this team. Now he's going to get his first SEC start. We'll see what he can do, but you have a 6'5", 6'6", 315-pound menace ready to make an impact for this team.
I hope he can run block. I know he can pass block. Man, because I see him now come out. They know how to pass protect. My thing is move somebody off the line of scrimmage. They're not great at that. Give us your two biggest keys to victory for LSU if they defeat Alabama.
Yeah, look, I'll pick one on both sides of the ball for you. And for me, I'm going to steer a little bit away from the Jalen Milroe aspect of things. Obviously, this is a guy who's going to come out and click on all cylinders. He's a player who can kill you with his legs, with his arm, one of the top dual-threat signal callers in America. But you got to limit him on first down specifically. You got to stay in front of the chains if you're the LSU defense. You can't let them get second and short, third and short. You got to limit him in that aspect there. So for me, when I'm looking at the LSU defense, it's containing him, but specifically on first down. And then fast forward to the other side of the ball. Like I've been saying this for weeks now, I feel like you just got to diversify the playbook. You have to get the running game, the rushing attack in the mix. You said just a second ago when referencing Paul Mbanga and hoping that he can run block. We know they can pass block. We know that they can give Nussmeier time in the pocket. It's just about diversifying the playbook, getting the run game going, and not falling back on Garrett Nussmeier so much. It's tough when you have a quarterback throwing the ball 50 times.
Can't work.
In due time, something is going to happen that doesn't favor the team. We saw that in College Station with a couple of questionable decisions. Fast forward to this week against Bama. You want to hope that you can take the weight off of his shoulders a little bit, add the rushing attack. And even if it's not just handing off in the backfield, Mike, it's about finding extensions of the run game, whether it's checkdowns to Caden Durham in open space, a little shuffle pass or two to Aaron Anderson, Xavion Thomas. Get extensions of the run game going. Take the weight off Nussmeier's back. To me, that's about as critical of a key to victory as it gets.
Zach, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. Always great insights, buddy. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
All righty. Zach Nagy, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated. We'll be back to finish it up here in hour number one right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870. I want to thank Marlon Favorite, Zach Nagy, for giving us a lot of insights on LSU. Also, Marv Fave has talked about the Saints also. Glenn, hold on to where you at. I'll take you right at 5:10 after the news break. Got a lot more here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL right after this news break.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.